I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
All right, guys, we are here with a very special guest co-host this week. As I'm sure you guys know, if you follow Megan on Instagram, she is on vacation. She's down in South Carolina, not far from where Shep is from and Teddy Mellencamp. She has not seen anybody from the Southern Charm cast, as far as I know, but she's still there for a few more days, so you never know. So joining me this week as a special guest co-host is Courtney Skipon from Below Deck Season 7. What's up, Courtney?
Not much. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for coming. So you and I have been like DM buddies on Instagram, and you know, since you were on the show, who else are you in touch with in the Bravo space?
Just really Kate and Riley. I do actually talk to Captain Lee a little bit, the little cutie pie. Yeah, that's it.
Have you ever like DM'd with any housewives or like responded to their stories and like talked to anybody that way?
Oh, I did send a little DM to one of the new housewives from Salt Lake City, Heather, because she had that whole like reply to a troll, and you know how I love to reply to a troll, like a sassy little reply. And hers was just really nice. And I was like, we love to see like some positive, you know, things coming out of Bravo. So I'm looking forward to that season. And she seems very nice.
Right. Yeah. No, this is definitely going to be a very interesting type of housewives. I know that Andy and, you know, we've had some Bravo execs on the show before who have teased it's going to be very different than other housewives franchises. So I'm super excited about that. We don't have too much longer to wait for that one. So that's exciting.
I will definitely be tuning in there.
Yeah. So, you know, my burning question for you is, have you spoken to Brian since the Below Deck reunion?
No, I have not.
Not that I'm super surprised by that, because, you know, I mean, things did not end very well for you guys. You know, you were pretty much like, no, we are never going to be friends. So, you know, when you walked off of the set, like backstage, was there any more conversation between you and Brian, or were you just like, I'm done here?
No, we had clarified that, or I thought that I had, like, long before the reunion happened. So it was sort of irritating to have to talk about it and re-explain all the reasons that I had already said why that wouldn't be happening. And it wasn't really that acrimonious for me. It was just, I have boundaries for my friendships and the people that I allow into my life. And he was not meeting those boundaries. So that was it.
Yeah, no, good for you. Another big thing out of last season was, you know, Kate announcing that she is leaving Below Deck. So what was your reaction when you heard that?
I mean, Kate had already told me. I think she told me probably right around the time we were in New York for the reunion. So yeah, I was surprised, but definitely I think she's on to way better things. So I'm really excited for her on all her new endeavor. She's been busy this pandemic. She's killing it.
Yeah. Do you feel like it was an honor to serve alongside of her as one of the last stews to work with her?
Can you imagine I had not been on that season?
No.
I literally think about it daily. If I had just had that misconnection and I'd gotten someone else, or even if they put me on med for some reason, I just like, I don't know what I would do. I feel so lucky.
Right. No, it's so true. I mean, she is such an icon in the Below Deck space and even as a Bravo celebrity, you know, so to have that opportunity and then to know that you guys remained friends outside of that is great. You have a friendship that came from that too.
Yeah. And there's so much that just doing a season with her was like so much more fun because she's like knows everything that's happening. And I think I just can't imagine the experience being the same for the crew that comes after that. I don't know.
Right. Well, I mean, I can't wait to get into Below Deck Med in this season when we recap it a little later in the episode, because I feel like whenever we talk to somebody who is in the yachting space and can relate to what's going on with these people, you know, it's always so cool to hear their perspective on it. So I can't wait to get into that with you. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is I recently saw that on Twitter you have discovered Summer House and you are like, why can I not be on that show? Like, please let me be a part of Summer House. So did you just recently like catch up on some seasons?
So I'd never watched it before. And to be honest, prior to being on Below Deck, I'm not a huge TV watcher. I'm like a TV as background noise watcher, but I'm not like invested. But after being on it, I got a little more into it. Now that I know all like the machinations of how the shows work, I'm a little more excited. So I popped into Summer House. I was procrastinating and I was peeved. Like, who am I if not meant to be on a show where you lounge by the pool drinking rosé?
Right. You're like, wait, I can get paid to be like relaxing all day. Because I do remember at the beginning of last season's Below Deck, you were like, I would much rather be a guest on this yacht than working on it.
I mean, but who wouldn't?
It's true. Well, and also, you know, I don't know, you said you aren't a big TV watcher, but shows like Big Brother, where it's just like cameras on all the time in the house, that is is going to be the format of the new season of Summer House. So it's not going to even be like they go back to the city during the week and then come to the house on the weekends. It's like all in all the time. So it's definitely going to be a dramatic season, to say the least.
I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but that's kind of the format of Below Deck too. Like, we're also quarantined on a boat with everyone with cameras on the walls.
That's so true. Oh my God. Well, I remember actually Kate recently revealing that it was sort of a like behind the scenes tip where when you get into your room and you want to go to sleep, you have to wave at the camera in your room so they will shut off the light so you can actually sleep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I never did that. Usually they notice you, which actually was a bit weird for me because I was like, every time my head hits the pillow, someone's like, and my light's off. And I'm like, so they're just staring at my specific screen. They've got like maybe 12 screens to look at. And they're like, Courtney's in bed. Like, turn it off, which I appreciate. Like, who was it?
Well, you had someone looking out for you. Okay. I think that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Okay. So also, you guys, the Below Deck season 8 trailer dropped this week. So let's take a listen. And then, Courtney, I have a lot of thoughts.
It's been years since I've been in the Caribbean, and I miss the hell out of it. White sandy beaches, crystal blue water. It's like putting on your favorite pair of blue jeans. It's like going home again.
Did I look like I was over here? What the f-?
We've got new crew, new chef, new chief stew, new everything.
This is f-ing bullshit.
Well, maybe not everything.
All my deckheads are born in the 90s.
God, Eddie.
Oh, good. I wonder what the poor people are doing today.
Is she alive?
She's alive.
I'm just thinking fish on fish. No watermarks anywhere all the time.
I am your boss. I am your superior. It's really pissed me off.
I do take my job a little bit too seriously sometimes.
Shane Lee. He doesn't answer his radio. Running around with no shirt on. Dude.
This is it. This is life.
You all right, Izzy?
Yeah, I just got a camel toe from my friend.
We definitely need to get to know each other better.
He's a bit of a troublemaker. I kind of like that.
You don't have a boyfriend?
My vibrator is my best friend. It's given me more orgasms than any other person ever has.
I hear coronavirus is a thing.
Oh my God, it's crazy. You can't get any hand sanitizer, so it's really bad.
The world's going to hell in a handbasket.
Yourself. I'm out.
Get your goddamn ass back to this boat now. Your charter just ended.
This is enough. I've had enough of you.
I need some help. I can't do this all myself.
There's no crying in yachting. We'll let the firings begin.
What?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kill me.
Okay. First of all, everyone is so pretty.
Everyone is so pretty. I already like this cast more, even though I already knew who they were, but don't tell anyone.
Well, that's okay. I mean, I know, like, from what Kate has told me too, like, the yachting industry is very small, and then you add in the layer of, like, reality TV, like, everybody knows everybody, right? So for you, do you know any of these crew members, like, personally?
Okay, so sort of. I'm extremely nosy, so I need to know who the cast is, like, upon arrival at a location.
Yeah.
But the girl, Izzy, she's from New Zealand, but she lives in Australia, and she actually lives in the same area as my ex-boyfriend in Sydney.
Okay.
So when I was there over Christmas, she didn't even know she was on the season yet. And this is the point where I'm getting like hundreds of messages because our season is airing. And I got a message from Izzy, like, with a beach recommendation. And like, oddly, I remembered her. Of all the people, I just like, she really stuck out for me. And then I'm stalking the new crew when they're about to film in Antigua. And I see Izzy's name pop up in the location tag. And I remembered her immediately. So we started chatting and now we're friends. And I love her.
Oh my God. Okay. So she is the chief stew?
No, Izzy is the thirds, do I think?
Okay, okay. Got it. I mean, this is so exciting to have a whole new crew. I mean, I do feel like when I see Captain Lee, I expect to see Kate, but I have a really good feeling about this Chief Stew. She seems like she is bringing like a bit of a Hannah energy, but also like a bit of a Kate energy, but also something unique on her own. So I'm really feeling her already. This particular location looks beautiful. like, damn.
I know, it's gorgeous. The water's gorgeous. And I love to see Captain Lee getting angry. We got a lot of that here. So I'm excited about that.
Right. And it seems like we have some crew members who like to perhaps misbehave a little bit. I mean, there's the one guy who keeps taking his shirt off. He's just like living the life. I feel like you can probably relate to like those type of guys in the yachting world. Okay, well, this season looks amazing. I'm so excited. Below Deck Med season 8 premieres Monday, November 2nd at 9 p.m. Eastern. Okay, so before we get into the episodes, we're going to talk Below Deck Med. We're going to talk Real Housewives of New York City Reunion Part 3 and also Real Housewives of Potomac. Pretty much the thing everybody's been waiting for this season happens, at least at the end of this episode. But before we get into that, I wanted to let everybody know we got some exclusive Bravo Insider content from the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Reunion. So it's unseen footage that includes Denise answering burning questions about Aaron. So why didn't Aaron and help with her hernia injury? If what he does medicine wise, you know, can heal all of these magical things, why did she still have to have surgery? Also, who are these people that are following Denise and Aaron in their car? That was a storyline that I think I said in a couple episodes ago, like, I wish we had pursued that more. So Denise will answer some of that. It's definitely must see stuff. There will be a link in the description to this episode. So if you want to check it out, click there. Okay, let's get into Below Deck Med. This episode, okay, starting off, Courtney, my blood was boiling over Tom's treatment of Aisha.
I can't handle Tom at all.
Why are you giving me editor? Oh my god, I was on a f***ing net doing a f***ing flip. I hit a cucumber, so I run down. I have nothing to do with this. Go have a f***ing cry with Sandy.
If you think you feel the need to apologize, I'm having a go at you for something that you didn't do.
When I say to someone,
it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't matter.
I'm sorry for you.
Yeah.
I'm not apologizing because I've done nothing.
I accept it then.
Now, it's like one of those things where we know that chefs can be difficult, right? We know that they can have a short temper. They can be particular. They can have an ego. They have all sorts of things. And we've definitely seen that in Tom so far since he joined the show.
Yeah.
But it's like, I do feel very protective over Aisha, and I don't like to see her in particular get upset, right?
I like, it's frustrating as a chef because first of all, they're getting paid more. So their job is harder, but they're getting compensated for that. Like, it is one of the hardest jobs on the boat. So much of the job, I think, is being able to like emotionally like process your own emotions. So you're not projecting them onto your crew because you live with them and you're working with them like 16 plus hours a day. So it's a lot, and that's a big part of the job. And I don't know why chefs for some reason think they're above that role.
Right. No, that's true. I mean, that's what a lot of people have said, that you know, it is a tougher job, but it doesn't make you necessarily like above or below anyone else on the boat because it is very much a group effort, right?
Yeah.
So Tom is freaking out over these cucumbers. He's taking it out on Aisha. I mean, I will say that he was on break and it was interrupted, and he was probably really annoyed by that, right? Because like, you guys get very specific break times, and I'm sure you look forward to those break times because you're usually working your ass off for hours and hours and hours straight. So I kind of get it.
Just like everyone gets woken up from their break all the time. And like, I've gotten woken up from my break and I have a far less important role than the chef.
Right.
So it's something that just comes with the territory.
Yeah. Okay. Well, another big storyline this season is the tumultuous relationship that is Rob and Jess. So I liked them both at the start of the season. I still like them both. I did make a prediction that it was going to crash and burn because it was so hot and heavy from the get-go. And I think we've, you know, reached one of our ups and downs. We're kind of in a down, but going back up at this point. So you are no stranger to boatmances, and you know how it all works when you guys are out at sea. But what is your take on Rob and Jess? And like, if you were on the boat with them, what would you think about what's going on between the two of them?
I would be like, Jess, please dump his ass. Like, I cannot handle watching this. I it's just an absolute roller coaster. And I never want to hear the words tantric sex out of Rob's mouth again. I never want to hear it.
I was in a documentary about tantric sex.
I know. Well, so I was kind of under the assumption that they had done maybe not like full on PNV sex, but that they had done something else at this point because they are so literally wrapped up in each other all the time. But it sounds like they maybe did channel some tantric sex in the guest room, because we got some, you know, real prime audio of what was going on in there.
I mean, I was mortified by that. Like, that was...
Well, there's another little, like, boatmance going on, too, between Bugsy and Alex, which I think is really cute. And I kind of feel bad for Alex because he's really trying. And Bugsy seems to be giving him enough attention, right? Or, you know, they finally made out recently when they were out. But he's such a good guy. And I feel like there could be something there. But Bugs, she's got a wall up or something.
I find this relationship very perplexing. She put about 6 pounds of pepper on her bruschetta when he was talking to her. And I was like, it turned black because she was so uncomfortable with the conversation. But I was like, please just either say, like, you know what, we're friends, or like, it was, I found it very confusing how dismissive that conversation was.
So, on like a day-to-day basis, is there sexual tension between you two, or is it just a drunk thing?
With who?
You two.
Oh, Bugsy, answer that question.
Yeah. No sexual tension.
No sexual tension?
And the thing about it is, maybe everyone doesn't also know how to play off of Aisha, because, you know, last season we saw her and the crew, and they all had this really great rapport, and she had this really fun fling with Jack, and I think she really felt a part of the group. And maybe in this moment when she kind of brought it up at the table of like, what's going on between you guys, it wasn't the best timing for that given what they had been going through, and then nobody really knew how to navigate that conversation. Like, even Bugsy said in her interview that she gets really awkward when it comes to confrontation or any of these sort of things. So I kind of get it, but I just feel like they could have played it off better. Like, Bugsy can be really funny and witty and quick, and I didn't see that in her. But like you said, maybe it was because of all that pepper.
I don't know. She was choking on it. Like, she was clearly uncomfortable. I've never seen anyone put so much pepper on anything.
I know. Yeah. It was overkill, Bugs. Okay. I mean, she does like to do a lot, right? We do see in her tablescapes, in her accessorizing and her style, she does like to do maybe a little bit too much sometimes, right?
I know. She was accessorizing her bruschetta.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Another thing that causes a whole bunch of problems, where we see some more of Tom's anger, are these provisions, these issues that he keeps having with these provisions. So I really did kind of feel bad for him, and I understood the frustration. But have you ever seen something like that, where like fish was coming on the boat that was not refrigerated? That doesn't seem right.
No, I mean, that's pretty gross, especially you're working in hot climates. I mean, although I guess they're there in the winter, but you shouldn't be serving fish that's, you know, been sitting out. That's pretty icky. But he needs to just calm down. Like, stop calling your girlfriend. Just call the provisions yourself. It's not that hard. You don't have to have, like, it's like the world ends at the smallest thing. And I get that it's stressful, but, like, please calm down.
No, of course. And it is interesting to see Malia be right in the middle of it, right? Because she is a bosun on this ship. She has a lot of responsibility. She's trying to prove herself in many ways to Captain Sandy. She kind of got her boyfriend involved in this whole thing. And now she feels like protective of him, but also like recognizes that maybe he's overreacting. So, I mean, if you had been in Malia's shoes, would you have encouraged your boyfriend to join the ship at the time that he did?
I can't relate to anything in their relationship. If my boyfriend, who is like autonomous and the chef, and I'm working in a different department and ahead in my role, and he's calling me on the radio to talk about his provisions being the wrong temperature, I would tell him to use his two legs. Like, what's going on here? Why can't you use your radio? Why can't you use your phone? Why can't you use your legs? Like, walk him over there to the captain and talk about it yourself. And also, our relationship is over. Like, I find this so ridiculous.
Right. Well, no, it's true. And he does kind of use Malia to communicate with Sandy. And maybe he's putting a little bit too much pressure on her as the person who brought him in. So he's putting on this kind of almost responsibility. Like, it's his responsibility, but he's putting it on Malia for all of the things that he is going through and experiencing and all the anger that he has over, you know, these little things that are going wrong. So it's a tough position for her to be in. But I think maybe we are getting a glimpse into some of the potential flaws in their relationship, right? That are stuff that's going on outside of the boat. I was a little shocked, but I was like, no way, when the charter guest was like, here's a gift card to come have dinner at my house in Malibu.
I know normally you get a tip. I thought I'd give you these dinner invites.
Oh, well.
Pass them down. I have
dinner at my beach house in Malibu every Tuesday, and you are all invited to come.
Amazing.
Thank you so much. I'll see you.
Have you ever been on a charter where the guests didn't tip?
They had me stooped. I was like, they are absolutely not giving a tip. I cannot believe this. I was so convinced. But I have, on the boat that I worked on in France, we had, it was like a day charter boat. So normally we get like a pretty hefty tip for like a day or at maximum a week. And I was still renting my apartment in France. So I'm paying rent, and the like charter broker rented it out like behind the captain's back for almost 2 months. So I was living on the boat for 2 months in Saint-Tropez while paying my rent. And like my salary before the tip is like, I don't know, €7 an hour. Like we're not getting much here. And they were like billionaires. Like they owned a soccer team. Like we're doing okay. They, I think, tried to tip us after 2 months, like €800.
No.
And I think, yeah. And I think we ended up getting like €1,500 for 2 months. Like that should have been your tip for a week.
Right. Oh my God. Well, so like if something like that happens, what is the protocol? Like who do you guys go to be like, this is unacceptable. Someone needs to talk to the guests. Like who is the one to be there for you guys in that situation?
I mean, usually I think the captain, or in this case, like the yacht broker potentially, but that was also, I mean, the fault of management. They should have probably written a percentage into the contract. Sometimes they'll say there's a like automatic gratuity of at least like 15%.
Right.
And then you can add more if you want to, but obviously that wasn't written in. And I'm like, that, like the tip didn't even cover my rent for 2 months.
Right.
So I was, my apartment was sitting empty. I was working in Saint-Tropez, like living on a boat, and they didn't even pay my rent.
That is so crazy. I mean, the other thing is too, right? Sometimes people who are the richest are the cheapest. And you're just like, you have the money. Why aren't you going to share it? You know, like, come on.
I know. But it was, I don't know. It's just like, how can you be so unaware? And also after spending like 2 months with, like, there was two girls, me and my friend Annie, and like they were aware that I was in business school and it was just a summer job. And I'm like, I can't pay my tuition now.
Right. Oh my God, that is wild. I mean, I'm always so fascinated by like the tips and just to see how much people give. And, you know, sometimes it's the worst charter guests that are the worst tippers, but sometimes it's the worst ones that are the best tippers. Like it's just, it's so hard to really predict what they're going to do. But have you found that like the most difficult charter guests are often the ones that tip the least, or is it the opposite?
I wouldn't say it's difficulty. But sometimes there's something that you can just tell about them. I have like a very good radar for this. There was one charter that we had in Thailand, and he wanted to let the tip rain on us in the shower. He came up to me and he was like, what if the whole crew gets in the shower and I just let the tip rain on you? And I was like, probably not. But he'd been like bragging that he was going to give us a huge tip and blah, blah, blah. And all the male crew members were like, we are absolutely getting the best tip, like so excited. And I was like, no, we're not. No.
You were like, I just know, I can tell it's not going to be what we think.
No.
Well, they're also about to come up on the very final charter of the season. So talk about, as a crew member, when you are in that home stretch and you know that there is one more charter to go, do you like double down and you're like, I'm going to just like crush this? Or at this point in the season, are you just exhausted?
I think our last charter, it was hard because we had the best guests for our last charter.
Right.
So I think we were ready to just like get it over with. But like, I think I felt pretty good. But then they just made it so easy. Honestly, I was so relieved. I saw the sunset for the first time. I would go and check on them and they wouldn't need anything. And I just didn't know what to do with myself.
Right. You were like, let me work for you, please. It's my last chance.
Yeah. And they were so nice that I wanted to. I was like, do you need anything? Like you can have the world. Like you're making this so nice for me.
Well, I'm excited to see how this season wraps up because it has been such a, you know, roller coaster ride for everybody involved. Any final thoughts on not just this episode, but maybe the whole season, especially everything that happened between, you know, Hannah and Captain Sandy and Malia?
I don't know if there's anyone on the crew that I'm like connecting with. You know how you have to have like a narrator, like a North Star that is like,
yeah,
you know that they're telling it like it is. And I don't get that from anyone on board right now. So I'm finding it hard to, you know, there's no one to root for.
Right, right. I think my North Star for this season is probably Alex. And it's because we're from the same area. So I feel like I am related to him, or I went to high school with like at least three guys like Alex, you know? Mm-hmm. And I do feel like he has some kind of moral compass, at least more so than several, maybe one or two of the other guys on the boat for sure. So he might be my like voice of reason, because I do always, you know, in all Bravo shows, look for that person because it's just like, they got to keep me sane.
You know those mornings when you feel like you just can't get it right?
Overslept, caught in traffic, coffee spilled on your crisp white shirt. It can be hard out there.
But you know what'll transform your morning? Dave's Killer Bread. Dave's hearty lineup of morning makers, organic bread, bagels, and English muffins are here to revive your day and fix all the things. And it tastes real good.
Never skip on DKB, a guaranteed fresh start. Visit daveskillerbread.com to learn more and look for Dave's Killer Bread in the bread aisle of your local grocery store.
There's a lot going on these days, so it's likely we've all been feeling a wide range of emotions lately, from anxiety and stress to depression, grief, even relationship issues.
It has been tough, and understandably, all of this can interfere with your happiness and prevent you from achieving your goals.
Thankfully, online professional counseling through BetterHelp is here for you now more than ever.
BetterHelp is the most convenient option, with services available worldwide.
Now, we still need to practice social distancing these days, and with BetterHelp, you can talk with counselors from the comfort of your own home and connect in a safe and private online setting.
Counselors have a broad range of expertise, and BetterHelp will match you with a counselor that's right for you. The best part? You can connect with a counselor in under 24 hours.
Send them a message at any time, and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly sessions over the phone or video call, whatever works for you.
It's so, so convenient, and you don't have to feel uncomfortable in an office or waiting room.
Plus, it's more affordable than traditional options, and financial aid is available.
So many people have been using BetterHelp. They are recruiting counselors in all 50 states.
And don't worry, if your counselor is not the right match for you, you can change free of charge at any time.
Right now, the Daily Dish listeners can get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/dish.
Take charge of your mental health and join over 1 million people who are doing the same. And remember, anything you say to a counselor is completely confidential.
Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/DISH.
Okay, let's talk about Real Housewives of New York City reunion part 3. What are your thoughts on this season of Real Housewives of New York?
My only thought is just how much I love Sonia. Like I said, I hadn't watched that many of the Housewives before, but I got into it sort of the past couple of months, and Sonia is my everything. I live and die for her. She's too pure. Love her so much.
I know. She is really one of those kind of exceptional housewives that I feel like across the board, people from all walks of life understand and maybe don't necessarily relate to her, but you're rooting for her, right? Like you want her to win. And this whole season, I've been really happy for her with the whole Century 21 deal that she got. And I feel bad at this point because I know Century 21 is closing their stores, which I think they announced shortly after this reunion film. So it didn't really make the part 3 when they talked about it. But you know, it's just like just when things are looking up for Sonia, it, like something else happens. And you know, I mean, how many brands has she tried to launch since we've met her? Like so many, you know? And it's just like, this one was having so much success. And then all of a sudden it was just like, well, there it goes, you know, pandemic. So I did feel really bad for her. But, you know, like you said, I mean, I love her. I support her. We must protect her at all costs. And she is just the best. She makes me laugh like nobody else on the show. I want to know what you think about the risk people take by bringing their friends onto the show. Because everything that happened this season between Ramona and Elise, you know, this isn't the first time this has happened, and not just on this franchise either. I mean, we did see it last season with Luann and Barbara Kay, but just thinking about this season of Beverly Hills and Lisa Rinna and Denise and their friendship falling apart because of events on the show. So like you've been on reality TV before. Do you feel like it's just too much of a risk to bring those authentic relationships onto a platform like this?
Yeah, like there is so much at play, like especially first of all, you're bringing someone into your workspace and then you're bringing someone into a reality TV space that's going to be edited and like shown to the entire world. And then you have the backlash of that. And that can get really convoluted and confusing. I really would never like to work with a friend. I think Kate and I worked really well together. So that was really lucky that we were able to do both. And I think we have a similar mindset. So I would easily work with Kate again and not have any issues. But who?
Well, another big thing that was going on this season was Dorinda's perhaps anger with everyone and towards everyone, and in particular Tinsley. And, you know, Dorinda has been such a fan favorite for so long. I personally really do love Dorinda. I care about her as a person, as a housewife. What is your take on everything we've seen with her so far this season, and then, you know, her behavior at the reunion?
So again, I'm not super versed in like past housewives drama, so I don't know that much of Dorinda's backstory. From what I've seen of her in the past, I don't feel like this is like maybe true to her personality. I feel like this is a situation where she is having clearly a really hard time and is not handling it well at all. Whereas, and that's what maybe I find different about Ramona, is where I feel like that might be who Ramona is. Whereas this seems to me something that potentially Dorinda can overcome. I'm not sure. It's a lot. Like, there's palpable anger happening, and I'm not really sure.
Right, right.
It's clearly coming from somewhere else because it's completely irrational.
To your point, you know, Dorinda does have a heart underneath it all that is hurting, and it's coming out in all of these really horrible, aggressive ways. And maybe she's attacking the wrong people over it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and there was this conversation too about who was her punching bag. And as soon as Tinsley left, it became Ramona. But I feel like it's almost been everybody has been her punching bags after Tinsley left. You know, there were kind of shots fired at everyone at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she took a shot at Luann. I don't know about Leah though, did she?
I guess not Leah. I think maybe early on in the season, there might have been something. Was there something with the tattoos, or was that just, that might have just been Ramona and Sonia who were coming after her about that?
Leah said that Dorinda doesn't hit below the belt, and I was like, that's the most false statement I have ever heard. That's absolute farce.
I would kind Dorinda of like rather deal with someone that has anger issues than deal with someone that says horrific things like Ramona has. Because I don't think Dorinda hits below the belt.
Well, and Dorinda did admit, I think in part two, that she saw a lot of herself in Leah because she was the same age then when she was married to Richard, and her daughter Hannah was the same age as Kiki. So maybe there is something there that Dorinda sees some of herself in Leah, and so didn't necessarily take too many low blows in her direction, but there definitely were plenty directed at other people this season. I also have a proposition for you, okay, because you want to be on Summer House. So I think that we should gather a group of people. We should purchase Sonia's townhouse, and we should all live there together and then film it.
Oh my God, can Sonia come?
Oh, wait, absolutely. I mean, definitely. She'll be like our friend of, who like pops up once in a while and like parties with us. But, you know, she has her own stuff going on, so she can't be on our show, but she can be our friend of, like a crossover moment, you know?
I've honestly always wanted to be a friend of. I think that would be so fun. I'll be a friend of Kate Chastain at some point.
There you go. See, it's like less pressure, right? To be a friend of, like, you still have to deliver, but like not every day.
Yeah. When Sonia was like talking to Ramona and she was like, you and me, 2-for-1 burger or 2-for-1 martinis at Burger Heaven. I was like, that is the purest thing I've ever heard. And I want to have 2-for-1 martinis with you. Like, so good.
I know. I want to have 2-for-1 martinis with Kate because she had just moved to New York within the last year. And we were always like, oh my God, let's get together. Let's do this or whatever. Pandemic strikes. You know, she went down to Florida. I think she still has her place here. I'm not totally sure. I need to find out.
She does.
Okay, but so our hypothetical summer house at Sonia's townhouse. Okay, it'd be me, you. We'll invite Megan, even though she's not on. She would want to be included. Who else from the Bravo world would you bring? I guess we should also say Kate, because she would also want to be included.
Oh, obviously, we're a package deal.
Who else would you bring along? Like, if you could pick someone from like Housewives or, you know, any of our other shows.
Oh, I'm stressed out. I forget. I have bad memory recall. Okay, who do we invite? I think we'd want Leah to come. I think we like her.
Yeah, I would say we should bring like Portia from Atlanta. And then I feel like maybe we could bring in like somebody from Potomac also, like maybe Karen, to sort of like just really mix things up. And just, I would love to see like Karen and Leah have a conversation, or even like Karen and Kate. Like that could be some next level shit. Okay, let's talk about Real Housewives of Potomac, because this is where things are starting to really pick up and get a little crazy this season. So obviously, before we get into, you know, the last few minutes of the episode where we see the beginning of the altercation, I want to talk about the stuff that we're dealing with at the beginning first. And that is all of the stuff that's going on between Ashley and Michael and the picture, and it hit the blogs. And I remember that time when that was happening in real time. So what is your take on the whole Ashley-Michael thing? Because, you know, it has been something that's been going on for a couple years now, and it's pretty remarkable how often he is getting caught doing these things.
Okay, so this is news to me because I'm new here, and this was my first episode of Potomac, but I did think it was truly Emmy-worthy. Like, I have so much to unpack here. But I, like, she was so calm. And like, truly, it was compelling television, like, during this conversation. And I saw on Twitter that apparently they always order Coronas together. It's like their signature drink or something. And she just like did not order Corona that time. So I found that hilarious.
That's so true. That is so true.
She ordered a Pacifico and she was like, she means business now.
Right, right. She's grown up. She's all grown up ordering Pacifico. Yeah, I mean, so this whole conversation is really interesting. And they talk about what they've done in their relationship in the past and that there has been openness before. But where they are now, Ashley wants to close that part off because they have a baby now. They are on, you know, a different path as a couple, I think, at this point. And what I think makes the whole scene even more interesting is when the producer steps in, because that's something that, you know, you can definitely speak to from being on a show before, the whole breaking the fourth wall, right? They don't want you to do that often. But I think when it makes the story a little bit more compelling and in the right moments, it can be really powerful and really interesting. So what was your thought when you saw like the producer step in? Were you like, oh my God, this is... like, what are they doing?
Can we cut now, please? Can someone give me another beer?
No.
No, we just went through?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a wrap.
All right.
I just told her something that's affected our relationship forever.
Yes, it will. Yeah.
Okay? We've been truthful. Even when I've been accused of all kinds of shit, we've been truthful.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right. Well, I do appreciate you guys being honest and real about this. And
it's a real life.
I mean, we can take the microphones off. Having this, yeah, I just don't think there's any more in me. I never really wanted to talk
about our business and what we've done in our personal life on camera.
I love all of the fourth wall breaches that are happening here, and then like James steps in, and he should be winning like a Nobel Peace Prize for this, like calming the cast here. He really did a great job. Like, production deserves every cent that they get and then some, because it is truly so much work to have to like wrangle people. And it's nice to like see that a little bit.
Right. Well, and the other interesting part too is, you know, I wonder if the conversation would have looked different between Ashley and Michael if there weren't cameras there, right? Because the way Michael reacts to being like, okay, we got it, right? Like, is that enough? Like, we're done talking. Like, it seemed like Michael was like, I don't want to have this conversation anymore on camera or at all.
Yes, he had a Denise moment. He had a Bravo, Bravo moment.
Yeah.
He clearly was uncomfortable having it there, and she clearly wanted to have it there, which I sort of loved. Yeah. I don't know. He bothers me. I don't like that. And he's blaming her for it with, like, she said that there was a lack of intimacy that he was feeling. I'm like, do not talk about that. Like, this is your fault.
Yeah, it's a little bit of not taking responsibility for your actions. And it's not to say that two people and their decisions or actions didn't lead them to that point. But it's also like, you have to take responsibility for what you did and not start pointing fingers in other directions, because that makes you look even more guilty.
Exactly.
I really loved the sort of blunt text messages that Robin was sending to Ashley, where it was just straight up like, sent the picture of what was going on in the blogs, you know, Michael in his underwear. And then she's just like, what do you want us to do? You know, like, it must be so interesting to be a part of a group of friends whose lives are on reality TV. And instead of being like, I'm so sorry you're going through this, like, do you need anything? Like, can I help you with something? It's, what do you want us to do? Like, basically, what do we need to say if somebody from the media asks our opinion on this, is really what I kind of read as like the subtext there.
Well, she did that because she accidentally sent her the the blog article.
That's true.
So that was a cover up. I don't know if she would have said that to begin with.
Right, right. That's a good point.
But I thought that was a fantastic cover. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah. No, it was definitely, you got to be quick on your feet with that kind of stuff.
And then later on, I was talking to Cherie. She hadn't seen it. I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, let me send you this.
Right.
And I sent it.
Yeah.
So I go into my text messages. I sent it to Ashley.
Oh my God. Robin, no!
No! I was like, oh, sh-. So I followed it up to her with, what do you want us to do with this?
But it definitely makes me think that, you know, they're always thinking a couple steps ahead, right? In terms of when these things hit the blogs and what they're supposed to do next. And I think we see it this season on Beverly Hills, going back to Denise Richards and like in her mind, all of the things that came out in Rome with the accusations from Brandy and everything. Like you're always... then when something like this breaks, you got to try to think a few steps ahead, right? And like what comes next.
And it's interesting, especially with the Michael and Ashley thing, like had he not done it so publicly, like, and in Potomac, what's happening is like, I guess the women are finding out about it. So it's happening live and it has to be sort of brought into the plot line of the show, which is unfortunate.
Right. The other thing that's going on right now is Monique planning this podcast, this live show. I think it's a couple of live shows actually that she is doing at this time. What's your take on Not for Lazy Moms, the organization or lack thereof that she and her team have? Because I was just kind of watching this like, does she know what she's doing?
I don't really understand this. And again, I haven't been watching, but I tried to do like a little background research. I was like, surely there's something I'm missing. And I was like, wait. And like, why is it called Lazy Moms? Like, I feel like that's condescending.
Well, it's called Not for Lazy Moms, which when she announced that.
Which is so rude.
Right. Because you're still, and that was the point actually that a lot of the women brought up when she picked this name a few seasons ago, because everyone was like, there's still a lot of like negative connotation all throughout that title. You're saying, you're leading with the word not, right? Which is already negative. You're calling some moms lazy out there somewhere. So there was definitely issue with the name, but she stuck with it and kept going. And that is what it is. I know that people love going to live shows from, you know, podcasts. I mean, we had a live show at BravoCon. I was so grateful that people came to see that. So many other podcasters, Danny Pellegrino. I mean, everybody, they do live shows and it is so fun to be able to go to that. But it does seem like something was not connected before she decided to do this live show. Like there could have been some maybe like market research or something else that was done, because it sounds like she's just like bleeding money at this point.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a lot involved in any sort of event and in podcasting, and I think some people like kind of fly by the seat of their pants, and that sort of is the energy I'm getting from her.
Yeah. Well, and what did you think? I mean, in terms of Candace dropping out last minute, I think there's a lot to unpack in that decision. But what did you think? What was your initial reaction when you heard that Candace was dropping out of actually going to the live show and being a part of it?
Okay, because I haven't watched before, I didn't understand why this was a big deal.
Right, right.
She was just supposed to be a guest, and
she was supposed to be a guest, like a panelist, so to speak, on the live show. And I think there's a couple different things to unpack there. Like right now, Candace feels very slighted by Monique because of everything that happened at the lake house earlier this season, just in the last couple episodes. You know, Monique, she thinks, pretended to be asleep and didn't say goodbye to her and just has no real regard for their friendship. So I think Candace was just like, I'm not going to go and help her with this because I don't think we have a real friendship. So I don't blame Candace for dropping out. I understand why she might feel like I don't want to go and help Monique and support her. But from just like a pure like responsibility perspective, I'm like, it's really not great to do that to anybody who's planning their show around a certain number of people being there, you know, to participate.
Yeah. I mean, you're selling tickets. You're committed to being there from the beginning. I think like just from an integrity perspective, you really just have to stick that out.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think.
But clearly not.
Exactly. Well, yeah, you have a responsibility, like not just to this person, Monique, because it's her show, but almost to yourself to be like, when I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to follow through and I'm going to hold on to my word. Because it would almost be, right, the bigger person. We're always told that from when you're a child to be the bigger person in a situation. So maybe it could have been a bigger person move of Candace to actually go and attend and agree to participate and then just like, you know, tell Monique we'll deal with our personal issues later. But, you know, I can see her maybe just like not wanting to help Monique out right now because she doesn't feel like she owes her anything. It's very tricky. So before we get into what actually, you know, ends up going down at this winery, right? Did you see any of this coming? Like, I feel like when we get to the winery, there is a like light, happy, normal kind of mood of like Giselle just wrote a book. She got an award. She came back to see how everybody's been doing since the lake house. And the energy just like quickly changes, right? Like you can almost see the switch and it happens so fast.
I know. It was like lightning and all of a sudden it was like all going wrong.
Yeah.
But I think this is the problem with Peter. Karen like commented on Giselle being like a poor host and not planning that much. Like they were all just standing around.
Giselle's hosting skills suck. We are standing around in a circle doing absolutely nothing. I just think she wants to talk about her literary award.
There's some food coming. I'm so hungry. All right.
I wish she had Skyped me.
So it's like bound to happen that like there were quiet spaces. There's like a lulling conversation. Like someone's going to say something rude and it's going to happen. Like there's so much room for that without like activities to distract them.
Right. Yeah. Well, and also, you know, it seems like the conversation is going in a certain direction because Ashley reveals to the group that they have been open in the past, but she has hinted at this and, you know, in interviews and in different scenes over the years. So everybody was kind of just like operating with that understanding already, just without a confirmation from Ashley, in my opinion. And so she kind of makes this big reveal. She's being super open about what they've been through in their past. But I feel like she's only half living in her truth in this moment because she's discussing what happened in their past, but not exactly what's going on between her and Michael in the present. You know, like I feel like she doesn't quite give everyone that information at this point. And it's almost not a cover up, but almost like a justification for his behavior. And I just don't feel like that's right.
Yeah. I mean, she was clearly deflecting and trying to justify his behavior because clearly she's staying with him. I mean, that's obvious at this point.
Right.
But like, because they've had threesomes in the past does not mean he gets to sleep with other women. Like, that's not how it works. Like, threesomes are like an agreed partnership together. Like, you both agree on that. And even if you have an open relationship, generally, like there's a discussion that happens and clearly that didn't happen between them. They don't have an open relationship. They have a relationship where sometimes they bring other partners in.
Right.
So him sleeping with a prostitute that he met at the strip club is not the same thing.
The reality is my marriage has had its own identity, we'll say. And I have, Michael and I have been in situations where we've been with other people before.
Wow. Like with?
For example, we were like, hanging out at the David Guetta concert, and you know, I saw someone I was attracted to, and
oh, it was a threesome.
Yes.
It happened on the very first trip she took away from him. He didn't have the responsibility of the baby. She was like going on this girl's trip, and he took that very first opportunity to do this. So it's just a little bit like, you know, I understand why she might want to defend her husband and protect him in some ways and ultimately protect their family unit, whatever. But it just seems like she's giving him too much credit for this mistake that he made. Because I really do like Ashley and I care about Ashley. And now at this point, we know that she's pregnant with baby number two. So it's just to watch her go through this stuff and just try to explain it to everyone. You're just like, oh man, like, It's a tough position for her to be in. It's a shitty position.
She's explaining it as if like, oh, he fell asleep and then checked his phone in the morning and she took a picture. Like, no.
Right.
No, he didn't. And like, if she wants to stay with him, that's her prerogative. If that's like the relationship that she wants and she wants to do that for her family and she feels like that's going to be a healthy place for her children, then that's on her.
Yeah. So then, you know, just from your perspective, as we lead up into this altercation, as someone who, you know, has kind of come into Potomac only recently, and you're probably still getting a feel for everyone and what's going on, what did you think when you saw like it just really explode like that? We knew this moment was coming. It is very frightening in some ways. It's very startling. It's very unexpected to see an altercation like this between two people who at one point were really close friends. I think that how the rest of the season plays out is really going to determine how we can move forward with this situation and how we move forward with these two women and what they've done to each other to get to this point. It did feel like really scary to see it explode the way that it did. But I think the aftermath of this situation is really where we're going to see people show maybe their true colors or not.
Mm-hmm. And what I liked about Potomac, because I feel like they really hash out their issues. So I feel like no matter what happened, like it's all going to get resolved, hopefully.
Hopefully. We'll see. Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
My Rose this week is that I spent last week shooting the Real Housewives of Potomac after show, which is coming soon. So I'm super excited for you guys to see that. It's been really great working with these ladies, and there's a lot of good stuff that's going to be coming out of it, so stay tuned. But also, I do want to give my rose to Luann because of something that she mentioned in last week's Roni reunion, so part two. I did not see this coming, but Luann actually publicly calling for prison reform because of her experience and then what she's learned since her arrest several years ago, it just shows some real growth in someone like Luann, who when we first met her, you know, demanded to be called the Countess and just really seemed to be disconnected from the reality that the rest of us live in. So for her to sit there and bring attention to that in such a public forum, I was like, you know what? Good for you, Luann, and I'm proud of you. So she gets my rose this week.
Why I work with Fortune is I want to raise awareness because the prison system in this country is in a bad state. They're making money off of people's misfortune. Yep. And a lot of people that are in jail should not be in jail for petty crimes. They're not even violent crimes. Yep. And it's a real issue in this country that I think needs attention.
What was your rose?
My rose is that Kate Chastain is coming out with a new show when they announced it this week. She's on Bravo's Chat Room.
That's right.
I am so proud of her. And she's an executive producer.
Yes, absolutely. I am so happy for her too, because I don't want her to leave the Bravo universe. Like when I found out she was leaving Below Deck, I was like, no, like why? But she is a fan favorite and she has really fun, interesting, unique perspectives on things. So I think Chat Room will be a really great platform for her.
I think it'll be great. She has some great co-hosts. Yeah, I don't know, like, they could never let Bravo go without Kate Chastain. Like, she has to be there in some capacity. She's doing everything right. So I'm really excited about this.
Right. Agreed.
I'm her unofficial hype man.
I know, right? I mean, like, thank you for plugging Chat Room. We really appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Anytime.
Okay, I'm going to do my thorn is, you know, I'm going to have to give my thorn to Monique and not for the altercation, but for dropping $200,000 around these podcasts, because to me, something isn't right. And I understand that she is viewing it as an investment and you need to, you know, spend money to make money. But I feel like there could be some better business management and that money could be going to better places maybe at this point. So I'm sorry, Monique, but you get my thorn this week.
Okay, so I've spent close to $200,000.
Good Lord.
My thorn. It goes to the entire cast of Below Deck Med. They all just had like a lot of audacity this week. There was too much that happened in this episode and they need to reel it in.
Oh, well, there you go. Take that, you guys. I mean, yeah. Basically the Below Deck Med reunion, right, is going to be like maybe a giant therapy session for everybody.
It should be.
All right. Well, Courtney, thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it. This has been so much fun. Your perspective on Below Deck yachting, all of this stuff has been so helpful. And I really hope that you keep watching Potomac because I think we got you hooked now.
I know you might have, but I don't need another show on the list. I'm stressed.
Right. There's like too much going on.
I know.
Well, I'm telling you, Potomac is definitely worth it. And especially if at least, you know, you got to know how this altercation ends. So you at least have to watch next week's episode.
I know. I'm going to be watching it all. I'll be DMing you about it later.
Yes, please. Thank you so much, Courtney.
Thanks for having me.
So often, Megan and I, and of course, you guys, the listeners, bring up iconic moments from past seasons of Real Housewives that deserve a rewatch. Well, now you can stream full seasons of every Real Housewives on Peacock, NBC Universal's new streaming service. That's Real Housewives of Atlanta, Orange County, Beverly Hills, New Jersey, Dallas, Potomac, and of course, New York City, including every episode ever of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Real Housewives of Orange County. So light that candle, pour that wine, and snuggle up this fall with all of your favorite episodes of The Real Housewives. Peacock knows reality. Learn more at peacocktv.com.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.